most sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. Please be seated. My dear parishioners, as we honor the seven sorrows of Our Lady in a special way today, I would like to begin by reflecting upon sorrow. And sorrow could be defined in a broad way by all of the pains that we suffer in soul and in body. Or I should say perhaps not the pain we suffer in our emotions. And as we look at our lives here on earth, we see clearly that sorrow is inescapable. There are going to be so many times in life when we are going to hurt. But we cannot escape it. To be sure, there are those that would say, try to forget about sorrow and suffering. Pretend it's not there, or we will do everything we can to get rid of it. But despite our best efforts, will we ever get rid of sorrow? Will we ever get rid of pain? We can't. No matter how many more centuries this world goes on or not, no matter what inventions man comes up with, human nature fundamentally will never change. And when we look at our body, we see that it has many pain receptors. And no matter what advances are made in technology, how will we ever change or get rid of the fact that there will be emotional pain, sorrow, loss of loved ones, loss of opportunity, the disappointments of life? It will never be gotten rid of. It will always be there because this is an imperfect world. You know, on a wedding day, everybody is so happy, are they not? And we rejoice with the couple, with their families or friends. The parish rejoices. The sacrament of matrimony is being given. But only God knows all of the sorrows and sufferings that that couple will have. Whether it be problems with health, the challenges and difficulties of raising children, loss of employment, difficulties that will inevitably be there. It's such a joyful day when the young man is ordained to the priesthood, but only God knows all of the sorrows that lie ahead of him. Or of a brother or a sister that is taking vows, we all rejoice. What a wonderful day that is. But the sorrows await. It has been said jokingly, of course, if we all knew the sorrows and sufferings of our vocation, we would have never entered it. But we know, of course, in a general way, that it will be there. It's such a beautiful exhortation before a couple is getting married, and the priest says to them, and I can't remember the exact words, but words to the effect that sorrow and suffering are there, but you have enough confidence and love in each other that you will go through life together and face all of those sorrows and sufferings. They are to be expected in your own. So let's be a little philosophical here. Why the sorrow? Why the pain? Well, in a very practical basis, we suffer physical pain because the body tells us certain things not to do. That's why we don't go around touching hot stoves. or pour boiling water over our hands. We may have learned, and it took only one time, it's very damaging. That pain reminds us, don't do that. So there's a very necessary and real function of pain. But then we have to take it to a deeper level, because then what about pain? What about chronic pain that's there? And what a person needs to do, what we all need to do, is take a transcendent view of pain then. Take a transcendent view of sorrow, because if we just look at that sorrow or that pain, we're going to get discouraged, we're going to get upset, we're going to get angry, we're going to be frustrated. But with a transcendent view, we realize that there's something going on here that is actually very it's of a spiritual building nature. And here's the point. My dear brethren, through sorrow and suffering, we grow spiritually when we accept it in the right way. This is the doctrine of the cross. This is why Jesus said, if you will follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Because God knows the good that happens through it. St. Louis Marie de Montfort even calls it the greatest gift of God. But you see, here's the difficulty with pain. We can either try to accept it in that transcendent way, or we can fight it. And therefore, I'm quoting St. Louis de Montfort again, he says, we're going to be like the thief on the one side that was dying on our Lord, accepting his death, accepting his sufferings, and going to heaven as a result, or we can be like that hardened, unrepentant thief who kept complaining, even cursing his pain and his suffering. None of us can say we are holy enough to imitate Jesus in a perfect way. But then again, in a remote way, we try to be like him. But we can identify with that good thief, can we not? And what a difference that makes. Father Alexander Krissoff told me something very interesting, and I'd never realized this before, but in the Eastern Orthodox crosses, there's always a diagonal crossbar towards the bottom of the cross. It's the regular cross like ours. There's a short little piece up at the top which represents the inscription, but then there's this diagonal cross. I never even stopped to even ask the question, but he told me when he was here finishing his studies before he was ordained in 2008, he said, that diagonal represents something. Where it goes up represents the thief who accepted his cross, his suffering, and went to heaven, and the bad thief didn't accept it, and it shows the angle of him going downward to hell. So that's the Eastern Rite tradition, very common to see a cross like that. But to put this whole thing in another way, I really appreciate that quote I read from C.S. Lewis, the great writer, who said, pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. And this is our problem as human beings. We tend to be so deaf to God. You know, we're busy about our lives. I mean, look at all the people that don't even try to practice the faith, whose whole life is just about this world. But even we ourselves can get caught up in all of the materiality of our condition, and then pain happens in our lives. Sorrow happens in our lives. The loss of a loved one happens in our lives. What's happening at that moment? You know what happened? And again, to paraphrase C.S. Lewis, God picked up his megaphone and got our attention. And our loving Heavenly Father has to do this, because otherwise we'll be deaf to him. So you see how important it is to have a transcendent view. We're not Stoics. We're not masochists where we say, I love pain. Please pour it on. Give me more pain. It's unnatural. It's not our tendency. But God is doing something very beneficial to us when he sends or allows sorrow and suffering in our lives. Again, it's the doctrine of Christianity. As has been said before, the symbol of Christianity is not a bed of roses and it's not a feather pillow. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. And Jesus went that way and taught us how to do it. But what about his holy mother? In our limited understanding, we would have thought that Our Lady would have been exempt from pain and suffering. She had this perfect human nature. She was preserved from original sin, which means, I would think she would feel pain. I mean, she could poke herself with a needle like any of us could. But she couldn't suffer pain and suffering or disease that would bring her to death, because she was in the state that Adam and Eve were in before they fell. They were in a state of immortality. That's the privilege of the Immaculate Conception. She had those preternatural gifts that Adam and Eve had. But if the Heavenly Father did not spare his son the worst suffering and death for our redemption, then no, his mother wasn't going to be spared either. And this is what we are honoring today, that our Heavenly Mother suffered more than we can comprehend. She didn't suffer as much as our Lord, but she suffered so much that the saints think she suffered more than all of us put together. Now, she had no sin to atone for. There's another purpose of suffering. When we go through pain and sorrow, we say, I offered up for my sins. We're doing penance for our sins, and we deserve it because of all the times we've offended God. But what's there for Our Lady to say? Nothing. She never had to say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for sinning. She never did that. She was in that pure state. So why the sorrow? Why the suffering? Because she was called upon to help fix our problem by cooperating with Jesus. And that's the teaching of the Catholic Church. Jesus is the Redeemer. She is the co-redemptrix. And as we heard in the Gospel, she was asked to stand on Calvary and see her son put to death in front of her very eyes. Mothers, could you even imagine that happening to one of your children? And in such scorn and despising. And this was the price that God asked his mother to pay. But even though Mary had no sin to repair or fix in her life, and that's another thing that pain and suffering does, it fixes us spiritually. It undoes the harm caused by our sins. So Mary had none of that, but through her pain and suffering, She was deepened. She grew spiritually. And she could experience it in a way so that when we go to her and tell her how much we hurt, she knows from experience what that's all about. And she suffered by anticipation. This is something I really don't think we understand about Our Lady. You know that saying that anticipation is worse than realization? Well, in our Lord's case, being God, knowing the future, he knew exactly what would happen. He didn't just sweat blood in the agony in the garden, just experiencing the anticipation there. No, his whole life was a martyrdom. His whole life he knew what was going to happen on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. And it's also the same for Our Lady, although she didn't know it to quite the same extent. When the angel appeared to her when she was 15, 16 years old, we believe, and said, "You're going to be the mother of God," at that moment, she understood to a very great extent how much suffering that would mean to her. What a paradox. The joy of being the mother of God, the joy that knowing redemption was going to happen, but the cost, the price to pay. And then on the happy day of the presenting of Jesus in the temple, 40 days after his birth, as she's rejoicing, as Jesus is being offered up to the Heavenly Father in fulfillment of the Mosaic Law, it was that day that Simeon had to tell her. And this is, I think, where the full weight of anticipation came upon Our Lady. He said, "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce." And I personally believe from that moment on, Mary knew everything that was going to happen. For the next 33 years, her life was a martyrdom of anticipation. But she said yes to God. She did it out of love for him, and she did it out of love for us. And so we honor her seven sorrows, the prophecy of Simeon, the second sorrow, the flight to Egypt, having to flee the murderous Herod. Can you imagine running with your child across a border? Some think it was anywhere, well, maybe a couple hundred, maybe 300 miles to safety in conditions 2,000 years ago. Losing Jesus for 3 days, what a night, the parents' ultimate nightmare, not knowing where a child is. And then, of course, seeing him go to Calvary, seeing him nailed to the cross, dying on the cross, and then being taken down from the cross, and then burying him. She said yes to all of that, because that's what was needed to heal you and me and this whole sinful human race. And so what can we say, but let's not break our mother's heart. One of the worst feelings imaginable, isn't it, when you know you're breaking your mother's heart, or you broke your mother's heart, you did something that, without any justification, you really hurt her? Let's not hurt our mother. Let's repent of our sins. That's always the way to stop hurting our mother in heaven, her heart, by overcoming sin, by doing the best we can to even try to get rid of venial sin from our lives. We will then not only stop breaking it, but be consoling it. Let's console our mother's sorrowful and immaculate heart. It's not sorrowful now because she's in heaven, but imagine her whole life of sorrow here on earth. And whatever we do today and for the rest of our lives made a difference back then in the consolation that Mary knew from all of her children that would try to be good children of hers and of Jesus and try to make up for it by their good deeds, by their living their Catholic faith to the full, by loving God. So let us love our mother's heart. Let's console it. Let us glorify this heart, which always said yes to God in so many tremendous ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.